Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody out to our Wednesday night services. I would like to give thanks for this opportunity to speak to you this evening, and thanks for the prayers on my behalf. This evening, I wanted to study with you about what it means to be your brother's keeper. We will look at what it means to be a brother's keeper and what our responsibilities are as Christians. First, I wanted to look at what it means to be a brother's keeper. In the book of Genesis, chapter 4, we see an incident concerning the first children of Adam and Eve after their disobedience to God by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We see where Cain, the firstborn of Adam and Eve, has the wrong attitude towards God and ultimately lets his anger overcome him and kills his younger brother Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 10, saying, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.' Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And he said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.'" We see here the first act of violence of man towards another man, ultimately the first physical murder of God's own creation. Here, Cain is lying to God about the whereabouts of his brother Abel. God already knows what Cain has done, because he says in the following verse, in verse 10, that he hears Abel's voice cry out to God from the ground. In the story of Cain and Abel, Cain does not show compassion for his own brother because he has hatred in his heart. He avoided responsibility for his own actions by lying to God about what he had done. Cain asks God in verse 9 if he is his own brother's keeper. In this context, Cain is asking if he is the one that is supposed to keep up with the whereabouts of his own brother. As the eldest child of the family, he failed at being his brother's keeper by letting his own wrath come out and kill Abel. Being a brother's keeper is to be responsible for the well-being of others. Being a keeper is defined as to have charge of or to protect, to wait or watch on. So since we know that to be a brother's keeper is to have charge of or to protect, to wait and watch on, how does this apply to us as Christians? First, we must look at the responsibilities that we as Christians are commanded to follow by. We see in Matthew chapter 22, when Christ is approached by a lawyer, asked a question about the greatest commandments. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, saying, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?' And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets.'" Here, Christ tells us two utmost important commandments to follow. Love God with all that we have and love our neighbor as ourselves. These are the foundations of a Christian belief. Loving God with all that we have builds faith and trust in God in what we want, in what he wants most out of us in this world. And with love towards God, we are granted peace. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, saying, "And let the peace of your God rule in the And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. When we love our neighbor as ourselves, do we do that half-heartedly? Do we look at just the good, or do we just point out the bad? Sometimes our negative attitude determines how we treat others. By correcting our own mindset, you may positively influence others. That's how being our brother's keeper helps lift others up. Another responsibility we as Christians have is to be compassionate towards one another. Compassionate where we are the ones, compassionate where we are there for others in times of need, whether it be sadness or hurt or when life is going great. In the story of the Good Samaritan, we see how compassion for a complete stranger in need helped ultimately save his life. In Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 36, saying, "Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" So in this parable, how is compassion portrayed? Did the priest or the Levite show any compassion to their fellow Jew when they had left there on the other side of the road, beaten and left for dead? No, they passed by on the other side of the road so that they could remain clean and go about their day. The Samaritan shows his compassion for him by ultimately saving his life and caring for him and getting a place where he could regain his strength. In being our brother's keeper, we must also have the same compassion for others as the Good Samaritan has here. Christ shows us through his example how we should treat others. He shows us through his actions that he was here when he was here on earth, how we could be our brother's keeper. Paul writes to the Colossian church about how we, the elect of God, must put on in order to build and support the kingdom. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, saying, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." As we put on these character traits, we become more able and willing to be our brother's keeper, willing to be there for our brethren and supporting them where we can. So how can we be better at being our brother's keeper? What are some ways that we can be an example to others? As we become our brother's keeper, we must know that our actions in this life set an example for those to follow. Just as Christ gave us the perfect example to follow, we must also be careful in our own actions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church about how their actions might cause others to stumble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 13, saying, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Here, Paul is telling the Corinthian church about how they act might cause others to fall to sin. In this context, there were some Corinthians that were strong-minded, knowing that there was only one God, and that eating the meat offered to idols meant nothing to them. However, there were some in the brethren that had a weaker conscience, and seeing other Christian members that might be eating the meat offered to idols could cause their own faith to stumble. Paul ended this chapter in 1 Corinthians by saying in verse 13, I will never eat meat again, lest I make my brother stumble. Paul showed them how to be an example to others so that they could also be a leader to their brethren. Just as the older sibling acts, the younger sibling also acts and follows in the same way. And being a brother's keeper, we must be an example for others to follow. Another way we can be a better brother's keeper is through fellowship with other Christians. As we grow in faith, we start to understand that we cannot do this alone. We must have a church family to help support us through all stages in life. In Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, saying, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Here Paul is telling the Roman church to be concerned about the well-being of others in the church, having compassion and empathy to please your neighbor for their good and not your own. In doing this, this will lead to both of you learning and growing together. As we conclude in the study about being our brother's keeper, we looked at the story of Cain and Abel and how Cain asked the question to God, am I my brother's keeper? Ultimately, avoiding his responsibilities and admitting guilt on himself for the murder of his brother Abel. God never responds to Cain for asking the question because Cain was already his brother's keeper. Cain never took up the right mindset after his countenance fell. He never saw the responsibilities that were set in front of him to guard and watch over his younger brother. We also must be careful and not let our emotions dictate our actions when times are tough. We looked at the responsibilities as we as Christians are to take on in this kingdom. We see that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, as said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. As we continue to love God with all our might, we must also love our neighbor as ourselves. Having compassion for them and showing them empathy through any trials they may be going through. And bearing one another's burdens, this is a hard concept to follow because both parties must show vulnerability so that the other may talk openly about their trials or issues. Their trials or issues they might be going through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, saying, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God is able to show his power through our weaknesses. The more we recognize our weaknesses, the more we lean on God for his strength and not our own. Being able to recognize our weaknesses will open the door for others to discuss their weaknesses, and true compassion and empathy can be shown. This is how we can be our brother's keeper, by helping them and being there for them through all trials of life. For in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, saying, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. God knew that we could not go through this life alone. He knew that from the beginning when he made Adam. knowing that you can't do this alone and that there's a church family here willing and able to help you through anything. I'd like to thank you for attending with us this evening. We'd like to offer an invitation for those who are in need of the prayers or help from the church. And we'd like to invite those who are seeking after that relationship with God through giving themselves to Him through baptism. We would like to invite you to come sit on the front row as we stand and sing the invitation song that's been selected.